What a great prayer. I will trust in you. Any other place you put your trust, it's going to be a bust. It's not going to work. He is trustworthy, and He is worthy of our trust. And so I am so grateful for that good word this morning in song. Appreciate those who lead us in worship. Don't we appreciate those who lead us in worship? Yes, good to have Miss Aubrey home. See her up here joining in the worship. It was June the 4th when I preached a message. And maybe you were here on June 4th. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, remind us and we'll let you know. What was that? I understand. I'm with you. I'm tracking. June the 4th, I brought a message titled, Who Am I? Whose Am I? And it was a message on identity. And I want you to know that that was just kind of wading into the shallow end of the pool. There are so many wonderful thoughts and ideas that go along with that message I began on June 4th. And I was careful to make sure you knew that God had led me to some messages by Henry Nouwen. And so periodically, as the Lord leads me back to that theme, I'm coming back because it's really helping me. And I have this sense that if something really helps me, it will really help you. And so today, the message is titled True Communion. And we're kind of taking off on that same idea that we had on June 4th. And this is kind of the idea that you and I are the beloved sons and daughters of Father God. I think we too often either don't know that or we forget it. Or we fail to remember, which is one and the same. And so on that June 4th message, I talked about how we are not what we do, you know. And so often the world takes its identity from occupation, you know, what we do. The second idea is that we are not what others say about us. Or what others think about us. And too often, we take our identity from people rather than from God. And that's very dangerous. The third thought was that we are more than what we have. We're not what we have. Our possessions do not speak to our identity. Not at all. And so the world wants us to gauge our worth, our value, or lack thereof, based on what we do, what others say and think about us, or what we have accumulated, what we have in life. But Father God says this, "You are my beloved sons and daughters, and my favor rests upon you." Amen. And that, my friends, is true identity linked with inheritance. And so today I want to take another dip in the deeper end of the pool, looking at this thought that that we can become more fully the beloved sons and daughters of Father God. Now, in order for this to, I think, take the shape it needs to take today, I need to give to you an illustration. And I don't think you'll soon forget it. It's simplistic, but it's also profound. And so the idea is that they're in the stories of the Gospels, if you want to turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, I'll give you the story here in just a moment. But it's on the Galilean hillsides, and Jesus is standing there on the Galilean hillsides. In Matthew 14, we find the first story, Matthew 14, verses 13 through 23. And Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee, the banks of the Sea of Galilee, and he's been preaching, and there are a lot of people there, and they're hungry. And it says that 5,000 men, so we know that if you count the ladies and the children, probably 25,000 is a closer guess to how many people were standing on the shores that day, and they were in need. And then there's another story in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, and this is Jesus on the Gentile side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 plus is on the Jewish side, and then across on the Gentile side of the Galilee, Jesus kind of did the same thing almost exactly again. It's called the feeding of the 4,000. And so we know probably with the, you know, that's the men that were counted. So with the women and the children, probably as many as 20,000 were gathered there on that day. And the same thing happened on those days. Jesus took bread, okay, in his hand. He took it. He took it. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it. Now, that's just something that we would look right past in the Scripture. Big deal. Okay, yeah, okay. We're going to do that after you finish preaching, Pastor. We're going to take the bread and we're going to bless it and we're going to break it and we're going to give it to ourselves. I understand that it seems very basic, but I think that there's something very deep in this basic transaction. And I hope today that we won't leave here without understanding it. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, we have the story recounted. Jesus at the Last Supper, and once again, he's surrounded by his spiritual family. And on that evening, on the eve that he would be betrayed, guess what Jesus does? He takes bread. Okay. He takes it. He blesses it. He breaks it. And he gives it. And so we see in the most essential hours of his life, Jesus is taking bread, blessing it, breaking it, and giving it. And in that moment, the disciples knew that they were being invited to be the bride of Christ. Because in their culture, what they are about to do and what we call the sharing of the Lord's Supper or communion, to take the bread and the cup together is a sign of betrothal. The idea that I am asking you to commit your life to me. So in that moment, they knew. And so in that very essential moment, Jesus did something as basic as taking bread, blessing it, breaking it, and giving it. We'll find this happen again after he's resurrected. It's actually on the day of his resurrection, the evening of his resurrection, Luke 24. In Luke 24, in verse 30, there are these two disciples. They're dismayed. They're crestfallen. Their hearts are broken. They know that Jesus has been crucified. They haven't seen the resurrected Jesus. There were rumors. They don't believe them. So they have made their way to the west of Jerusalem. They're going to Emmaus just to get away from it all. It seems that Jesus has died and he's gone forever, and hope has been buried with him. Now, while they're on that road to Emmaus, someone comes up to them and begins to talk with them about the Scriptures and about this Jesus, and they are unaware. He prevents them from understanding it is really him until they get to Emmaus, and then Jesus is invited into their home to have the evening meal. And while sitting at the table, what does he do? He takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it. And something miraculous happens when he does this seemingly mundane task with the bread. It says that immediately they recognized Jesus for who he was. He was their resurrected Lord, And so they hurried back to Jerusalem at night to tell the others, basically, the light of the world is lit again. He is alive, and we have witnessed Him. We have recognized Him. We have seen the resurrected Lord. Now, here's what I'm asking today. That we would consider that Jesus wants to take our lives into His nail-scarred hands, and then we will more fully know that we are the sons and daughters of Father God. He is the Son of Father God. He is the firstborn among many children, it says in Romans 8. And so His life leads the way for our lives. And so our lives must continue in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus to be taken, to be blessed, to be broken, and yes, to be given. So others will taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Taste and see. You know, the life of Christ, we cannot taste and not realize that God is good. When we look at the life of Christ, we taste the Father's character. And likewise, we are to be in the hands of Jesus. Taken, blessed, broken, and given to the world. Now, these four words summarize the life of Jesus. If you look at it very basically, and I pray today that when we leave this place, if you don't remember anything else, that we will be able to remember these words. Jesus, during His Passion Week, yes, the beloved Son of God, He was taken by God, certainly a blessing. He was broken on the cross, and He was given for us and for others. And those same four words are to be the reality of our lives as beloved sons and daughters of Father God. This is our identity, that He wants to take us and He wants to bless us and allow us to be broken and then to give us so that the world will know that He is our Father God. It's an amazing concept. It's not one that I can explain fully here this morning. But I know the Holy Spirit can make us understand. If the only things we remember from the message today are these four ideas, I think that it will be enough. Because these four ideas help us to claim our identity and our inheritance as the beloved sons and daughters of God. These are the ideas. I am taken. I am blessed. I am broken. I am given. These are the four ideas that I pray that will make more sense as we go along and will secure our identity. Now, if we embrace these four ideas, the world will surely know that the Son of God lives in us. And the world needs hope. They need to know that Jesus is alive. And there is no greater way that the world will know that Jesus is alive and well than through our lives. There is no greater way. Now let me give you a real basic example of what I'm talking about. Back in 2014, November, we said goodbye to my dad after a battle with cancer. We didn't want to lose our dad. But giving him to God was not a hard thing because he had already been taken. He had already been blessed, broken, and given to us. So we were given back to God what God had given to us. Was it difficult? Yeah, in the sense of we're going to miss him and we love him a lot. But because God has been so faithful through the life of my dad, it was not really hard to surrender him to God. It would have been hard to surrender him to anybody else. And my dad taught me that. When all of his three sons were called to leave the family occupation of fishing, Though Dad would say we're the first real fishermen in the family, he often said that. He would say this often when I would pull my car away after a short visit of 2 days, and I'd have to get back to where God had appointed me. And Dad would weep because he didn't want to see me go, but he would often say this. He said, I've already told Jesus. He's the only one I would give you to. But he certainly did it. Now that Dad is gone, my mother is there at the home place, misses Dad every moment. Every moment of her life, she misses Dad. However, my mom now is showing in even a more vivid way since the passing of Dad that her life is taken, is blessed, is broken, and is given. It's given to many, but it's given especially to her family. And this is the kind of way she gives it, in very seemingly small ways, but not insignificant. When I call her, I say, Mom, how are you today? She says, I'm ready to stay, ready to go, whatever God wants. How can you not see Jesus in that? I mean, she doesn't just say it to make us feel good. This is where she is in life. She's like, ready to stay, ready to go, whatever God wants. I'm taken. I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm broken. But here's what I have to give to you. Whatever God wants. That's what I want. And that's how we, in very basic ways, we show that Christ lives in us. By the way, we respond to the brokenness of our lives. This is the way we show Christ. Now, let me go through them one at a time. Taken. I am taken. What does this mean? It means God has ordained you. God has chosen you. God has adopted you as His unique son or daughter. There is no other person in the world, in any generation, exactly like you. You are His unique creation. And because you are unique, guess what? God has a unique role for you, only you, in His story. Sadly, most people do not know this or do not believe it. It is still true. Most people don't even feel welcome in the world, much less taken or chosen by God for His glory. But it's still true. God says to you, He says to me, He says for all eternity, from beginning to end, you have been and are my chosen one, my on-purpose son or daughter. You are so precious to me. You are so special to me. In my eyes, you are special. Now, if you believe you are chosen by God, and you say, Pastor, where's that in Scripture? Okay, I knew you'd ask. John 15 and verse 16, Jesus says these three words, I chose you. That's pretty powerful. It's pretty pointed. John 15, 16, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And this is our identity. If you believe you are chosen by God, God gives you the vision to also see the chosenness of others. To see our unique purpose in God's story opens up within us the desire to help others also see that God has a unique purpose for them. To see others as chosen and unique in God's eyes takes nothing away from our chosenness or our uniqueness. This is a beautiful thought, because you're you and I'm me. And so I can teach this message today because I believe it. I believe that I am unique and I am chosen. And I want to help you to realize that you are unique and you are chosen. And it is no competition for me to help you discover that. Why? You're so unique. And this is the essence, really, of the good news. The first sign of our belovedness by God is that we are taken by God. We are chosen by God as valuable, as precious, as special in His sight. Now, the second idea, we are blessed. Now, you know the word blessing and the word benediction are one and the same. At the close of the service, we pray the final benediction. It is a blessing for you to receive in your life and to go onward. Now, the word benediction, if you cut it kind of in the middle, Benny means good. Benny. Good. Diction, saying things. So benediction means God is saying good things over you and over me. That's the blessing. Over in Zechariah, I believe it is, Zephaniah perhaps, there's that verse where it says that God is singing over us. You know this verse? That's benediction. It means that God is saying good things over you and me. This is the blessing. God is saying, well, what is He saying, Pastor? I've already said it. Let me repeat it. He is saying, you are my beloved son or daughter. You are blessed. I have loved you with an everlasting love. This is who you are. I love that song, Good, Good Father. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I am loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. Now, the writer of that song nailed the goods. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. That's who I am. This person, somebody says, who do you think you are? I'm loved by God. That's not who I think I am. That's who I am. Just come out with it. Let them know. Let them know who you are. Because He is saying good things over you. And as children of God, we are to be people who are blessed by God to bless others in His name. We are to be blessed people who say good things to others about the belovedness God sees in them. There is no greater joy in my life than to say good things over people. I don't mean just a compliment. That's okay. I like your shirt. Where'd you get it so I can get one? No, I'm not talking about compliment. I'm talking about seeing this person as uniquely designed by God for His purpose and pulling it out of them. It's one of the most wonderful things in the world. And we are blessed people to be blessing others. It's our call, God's beloved ones, to bless others. We are called to claim our identity and inheritance of blessing and to bless people. And so we are taken, we are blessed, we are broken. This is a more difficult place maybe to go, but I think you're going to feel better about it when I'm done. We are broken. Our brokenness in this world has so much to do with our relationships or lack thereof. It's a brokenness in our hearts. Marriages strained. Families dysfunctional. Friendships void of loyalty. This is the essence of our brokenness. And we all of us have felt an enormous inner agony, anguish even. All of us at one time or another, we have undoubtedly sensed that someone did not love us well. We needed more love than the people responsible to love us actually gave. And so our greatest suffering in our lives is always derived from a brokenness in relationships. Somewhere in our broken hearts, we have felt rejected, we have felt abandoned, we have felt misunderstood, we have felt marginalized. Now the question is, not are we broken? Yes, we are all broken. And relationships have been the source of that. The question is, what are we going to do with our brokenness? I'm going to give you two ideas. A, we must ask God to give us enough courage to embrace our brokenness and quit denying that we have been broken. Just embrace it. We need to befriend our brokenness. Admit, I'm hurting here. And just as I am unique, I admit my unique pain, my unique brokenness. We have to claim our pain. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 16 and verse 24, take up your cross. He understood that we have brokenness. That we have a cross. You have a cross. I have a cross. I can't pick yours up. You can't pick mine up. Jesus said, Matthew 16, 24, take up your cross. So simply and profoundly, He's saying, wrap yourself around your cross of brokenness and say, it's mine. I claim it. It's my brokenness. And if we deny or turn into humor our brokenness, we will never know the pure joy that Abba Father has in mind for us in the midst of our brokenness. And there's some people I try to talk to about their brokenness, and they always turn it into a joke. And it breaks my heart. I understand it, because we'd rather laugh at it than deal with it. But I want you to know that it's okay. We all have brokenness. Just embrace it. And just say, I'm broken. And God will begin to work in ways that you have not known. Look your brokenness in the face and eyes. Don't be afraid. Be done with the lies. Because the truth will set us free. Now, B, the second idea. First idea, embrace our brokenness. B, dare, I love this part. This is my favorite part of the message. Dare to place the brokenness underneath His blessing. Oh, I love this. Put your brokenness underneath the blessing that says, you are my beloved son or daughter. My favor rests on you. Even in your brokenness, especially in your brokenness. And I think there's no doubt in the rhythm. Because look how it happens. We are taken, we are blessed, we are broken right beneath the blessing. That's good. We got to put the brokenness beneath blessing. We are taken, we are blessed, and the brokenness is beneath the blessing. And that means that our brokenness can become a gift. Who would ever have thunk it? That our brokenness can become a gift. You see, being broken is not easy. I understand this. It's not easy. But if we put our brokenness under His blessing, one day we will say, as Jesus did in Luke 24 and 26, He said this of Himself, didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things to enter His glory? So unless we place our brokenness beneath His blessing, we will live under a curse, not a blessing. We put our brokenness under the nail-scarred hands of the Messiah, the one who calls us beloved. And if He had to suffer brokenness, and we are children of God, in which He is the firstborn, He is the prototype, then we too are going to have brokenness. But Jesus said, didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things to enter His glory? He put His brokenness beneath the blessing that He was the Son of God. And when we place our brokenness under His blessing, the suffering, the brokenness of our lives leads us to purity. Our brokenness is like a refiner's fire. It makes gold of our lives for the glory of God and for our eternal good. Being broken is not easy. It is eternal, however. And if we embrace our brokenness, and if we place our brokenness under His blessing, we are identifying ourselves with Jesus, the Son of God, and with God the Father. Finally, if we are taken, and if we are blessed, and if we are broken, we are given. We're given. I mean, who wants something that's broken? Well, it's a little different in His hands. You see, we're not in this world simply for ourselves. We are in this world for the reason Jesus came. Not to be served, but to serve the world. To give our lives to others on behalf of our Father. That's why Jesus came, and that's part of our identity. I am here for you. You are here for me. Yes, we are here for each other. However, it's wider than that. It's broader than that. It's higher than that. It's deeper than that. We are also here for the whole world. And not just for today, but for future generations yet to come. You see, your little life doesn't end on the day you die. How about that? Your influence is not over on the day you die if you have accepted your identity as a beloved son or daughter of God. Your identity in Him means that your life lasts long after you're gone from the planet. Our lives are going to be fruitful. In that same scripture, in John 15, where Jesus said, I chose you. He said, I chose you to bear fruit that will last. Man, man, man. Eternal fruit just comes in the wake of our lives. And how can we really be fruitful unless we die? Pastor, are you going to make death look good? I'm going to do my best. John 12, verse 24. Jesus speaking. A single grain of wheat doesn't produce anything unless it is planted in the ground and dies. If it dies, it will produce a lot of grain. There's promise that if we're taken and if we're blessed and if we're broken and given, that our lives will keep on giving. Not just while we're here, but even after we have physically departed. It's an amazing thought, don't you think? Even Jesus said, it is best for you that I leave. Yes, that I die physically so my seed can come back and put my spiritual breath within your soul. Talk about fruitful. If we will be taken, blessed, broken, and given, our lives will give fruit that will last beyond our little chronological time frames. Our little short-lived earthly lives will have greater impact than we ever imagined. My granny, she went to be with the Lord a lot of years ago. And while she was here, she ministered. Her presence was His presence. There aren't many weeks that go by that I don't think about my granny. Because the fruit of her life is still very vivid in my mind. I still want to be like her when I grow up. The fruit of her life, just amazingly, is still very, very real to me. The way she lived, the way she loved, is still part of who I am. And I can tell you that the impact of one who is identified as a loving son or daughter of God, that impact goes on and on for generations yet unborn. And there's a lot of beauty in that for me. God our Father desires that just as His Son Jesus' life, His life became fruitful for many generations beyond His 33 years on earth. That's what God desires, that as His beloved sons and daughters, we might be eternally fruitful beyond our short earthly existences. I hope that this encourages you. I hope that you will want to live your life as Jesus did, knowing who you are, beloved child of God, knowing whose you are, you belong to Father God. And I pray that this will somehow bring a deep peace to your heart today. And I'm going to ask the band to come back up. They're going to help us to close the service in response today. Here's the way I want to pray each day. I'm asking the Lord to help me to pray this at the close of every day. I want to say something like, Father God, I am your beloved child. I am yours. Would you please take me back over my day and show me where I was taken? Show me where I was blessed. Show me where I was broken. And show me where I was given. This is deep in my prayerful mind. I'm saying, God, help me to recognize your presence in my life this day that I've just lived. So I will know without doubt that truly I am the beloved son of you, my loving Father God. And I believe, friends, this is true communion with Holy God. To be willing, to be made willing, to be taken, to be blessed, to be broken, and to be given, just like Jesus. A love marked by giving, not getting. Ephesians chapter 5, we find those words. A love marked by giving, not getting. Today, will we claim our identity, our inheritance, true communion with God? I'm going to invite you to stand. The tables have been prepared by our faithful communion team, and we're grateful they were here so early to make sure we could respond. And today, as always, you're invited to the table. You don't need to be a member of this church, but you need to be serious about right relationship with God, and you need to be serious that sin needs to go away in your life, and the Savior needs to come and be everything. But today, you can come out of remembrance, just remembering the price that Jesus has paid and celebrating that communion. You can come out of remembrance. You can come out of recommitment. If there was ever a time in your life when you love God more than today, you want to make sure that you bring that up to date. Come out of recommitment. You can come out of repentance. Listen closely. Today, if you're walking in darkness and you're lost in sin, this table can be your altar. If you are serious by faith, if you come confessing, I need a Savior, I'm turning from sin, I'm turning to Him. As you take these elements, the broken bread represented by the wafer and the cup which represents His blood, if you receive these elements by faith today, He will forgive you and He will make you part of His family. And then finally, maybe there was a time when you really did know God, but today you don't. You've walked away from that relationship. You know it and God knows it. But today He's calling you back. He's calling you to be reclaimed into the family of God. Then I would invite you to these tables today. I'll ask the pastors and shepherd staff that may be in the room to move near the tables just to bring a prayerful atmosphere. And today there is no intimidation, only invitation for you to come to claim your identity as a beloved son or daughter of God, that His favor rests on you, and to ask for your inheritance, that you would be like Jesus, taken, blessed, broken, and given.
If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Still you know my heart.
this next song, our identity and our inheritance is wrapped into it. It could be a theme song for who we are and whose we are. And stand, let's worship this morning. In spirit and in truth, let's remember who we are. We are beloved sons and daughters of Father God. And whose we are His. And that must mean that He is also ours. And if nothing else is obvious, He loves you. He loves me. He loves us.
Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are, how great Your affections are for me. Oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. Thank you.
pray that every time you take bread in your hand now, I just pray it'll come back to you. I am taken. I am blessed. Yes, I am broken, but I am given. And that makes you like the firstborn son, Jesus. And it brings the light to your Father God. And it will bring glory. Your suffering will produce glory. Your immediate suffering will produce ultimate glory. Your temporary suffering will breed an eternal glory. So please take that as your inheritance. There's a wonderful couple verses that I can't let you go without hearing. In Romans 8, I'm going to just sort of pick up midway through verse 15 and read through verse 17. He adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share his suffering. I want you to know, it's worth it. It's worth it. Share in his suffering. Share in his suffering. You will share in his glory. My granny on her deathbed, see how her fruit continues to give to me? On her deathbed, her chant was this: if I suffer with him, I shall reign with him. Those were the last words crossing her lips as she drew her last breath. If I suffer with him, I shall reign with him. And that's the inheritance of those who have identified with Father God. In closing today, I want to make sure you know that we'll have someone to pray with you at the well outside the hallway there, across from the cafe. This might be a good day just to have someone agree with you in prayer. Also, if you are visiting with us today, just under the Holiness Unto the Lord sign in the back alcove, we have something to give you if you'd stop by. And also, tomorrow evening, Celebrate Recovery, we'll be doing a picnic at Purcell Park because VBS is happening here and we need all the space, so forth and so on. So if you'd like to come for the picnic or VBS, that's your choice, but just want to make sure the word is out on that. Also, this week at our district assembly, our very own Pastor Adrian Mills was recognized at the NYI convention, the Nazarene Youth International, with the Timothy Award. Now, very few of these are given out. You've got to really have made the world different where you have existed. And the way that Pastor Adrian has invested in the youth of our district, our local church, and just anywhere he can find a young person, lets you know what this is about. Winter retreat, big part, no doubt, of this recognition. I want to say this. I don't know everything I should know about the Timothy Award. I do know this much about it. No one ever received it who was more like Timothy than Pastor Adrian Mills. So I'm going to present it to him again. Come, Pastor Adrian. Come. God bless you, brother. We want to make sure you get it in front of your crowd, buddy. God bless you. He left in his office the first service. He thought I'd forget it, but I didn't, but there he is. We love you, Pastor Adrian, and the joy is all ours. And now I'd like to close with a short benediction. And I'm going to speak some good words of you. May you know that you belong to the Creator of the universe, and that He has identity for you. He has identified with you so you could identify with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Please go in the inheritance that is yours. See you soon.